In the name of our luminous God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You may be seated. Contrary to what some people think, growing up in Atlanta, we occasionally had snow. And every few years, we'd have a big snow. But it was not until my late 20s that I experienced my first whiteout. And that wasn't in Atlanta. We were in the mountains of Colorado. It was after Christmas. We were on a ski vacation. And the storm came up and everything disappeared. Many of you know exactly what I'm talking about. The mountains in the distance went away. The blue sky went away. The spruce and the aspen vanished. And worst of all the signs on the road disappeared. And then, of course, the road itself disappeared. You all know what this is like. We were flooded by a sea of white light into which all distinctions and differences disappeared. It's a terrifying experience, right? To lose your known landmarks and signposts and not to know which way to turn. All we could do was stop and wait and hope we didn't get run over by someone without the good sense to stop. This loss of control can be terrifying. Sane folks stay home when they hear this kind of storm is showing up. It's interesting to note, however, that in the Bible, the experience of the presence of God is often described as this kind of whiteout in which a person is immersed in a luminous cloud. We see this in the story of Moses on Mount Sinai in Exodus 19. It said, "Then the Lord said to Moses, I'm going to come to you in a dense cloud." We see it in the story of the Transfiguration. While Peter was saying this, a cloud came and overshadowed them, and they were terrified as they entered the cloud. You and I, we spend our lives making sure that the next moment, the next week, the next year is under our control. And maybe even we're happy to order people around to make sure this is so. But when the whiteout of God's presence comes upon us, we realize the ability to control our life is largely an illusion. For instance, we have no control over where and to whom we are born. We don't get to pick our parents. We get no control over whether we're born into poverty or great wealth, or whether we're born with healthy, you know, stainless steel genes, or a handful of defective genes that predispose us to disease and suffering and maybe an early death. But rather than find our place in this strange world, we create the illusion that we are in control, that we can control. And this illusion is a structure built, of course, by the ego using the strategies of the world, strategies like judging others to make ourselves feel better and stronger, strategies like accumulating wealth and power so we get more trips around the sun. But these are all tinkering around the edges. And when God shows up, all the strategies of control are revealed to be illusions. And all we can do is be terrified, stop, and wait. We're terrified because we realize we can no longer trust ourselves. We stop because there's nothing we can do. We wait because our only hope now must come somehow from outside of ourselves. Peter wants to build something, build anything. But there's nothing to do but wait on the luminous darkness to make the next move. Terrifying, to be sure, but biblically, this is great news because it means we are now in the perfect position to receive the help we truly need. Now we are in a position to experience God who knows us and loves us best. Then from the cloud came a voice that said, "This is my son, my chosen. Listen to him." So this is a prototypical mountaintop experience. You know, it's not the rainbows and unicorns we thought maybe growing up we could get. We had hoped we could use God. Now there's a thought. We're going to use God to get us more safety and security and control. Maybe if I come to church more often, God will do these things for me. Certainly, the ego thinks it deserves it. But we don't get a God we can use. Any God we can use is no God at all. What we get is a God who wants us to learn to rely on the divine presence as our source and Savior. And this is all grace, for without the knowledge of God in the depth of our being, we will continue to listen to that voice in the head, and we will miss the abundant life of loving others as we have been taught and led by our Master, Jesus. From the cloud came a voice that said, "This is my Son, my chosen. Listen to him." Well, then the cloud vanishes, and Peter and the others follow Jesus down the mountain into the valley, where they run into a desperately sick boy that they can't heal, and learn once again how powerless they are. We've all spent time in such a divine cloud. Everyone here, we might not have named it that way, has been in the kind of whiteout that left us helpless and unable to move. For some, it was a death or an illness or a lost job or a troubled child or a depression or a despair or a thousand other ways in which the ego becomes immobilized. All we can do is turn to the mercy of God in our own hearts. But Paul, or I maybe shouldn't use the word but there, and in addition, Paul reminds us that there is more. Once we learn to daily turn our lives over to the divine presence, we realize the divine light is always shining in our hearts, not just in those mountaintop, terrifying, terrible experiences, but day by day, that light is shining, slowly transforming us into the image of Christ. Let me read a part of that 2 Corinthians reading, but using the paraphrase that many of you are familiar with, The Message from Eugene Peterson. So Paul writes to the Christians in Corinth, quote, "Whenever though they turn to face God as Moses did, God removes the veil, and there they are, face to face. They suddenly recognize that God is a living, personal presence, not a piece of chiseled stone. And when God is personally present, a living spirit, that old constricting legislation is recognized as obsolete. We're free of it, all of us, nothing between us and God. Our face is shining with the brightness of his face. And so we are transfigured, much like the Messiah, our lives gradually becoming brighter and more beautiful as God enters our lives and we become like God. We may not, and often we are not, able to see that happening in our own lives. We still need to learn the love of God for ourselves. But we can, by faith, see the light of Christ in others if we look. Some of you will remember the C.S. Lewis's famous statement in his essay, The Weight of Glory. He wrote, "There are no ordinary people." He said, "You have never talked to a mere mortal. Nations, cultures, arts, civilizations, these are mortal, and their life is to ours as a life to a gnat. But it is immortals with whom we joke and work with, marry, or maybe snub and exploit. Next to the Blessed Sacrament itself," he writes, "your neighbor is the holiest object presented to your senses." So when I walk the dog, as you know, I listen to podcasts. And so I was listening to Anglican bishop, scholar N.T. Wright, and he was asked a question that they said, "Bishop, when you were bishop in Durham in England for 7-8 years, you know, you always talk about Christ coming and proclaiming the kingdom, bringing the kingdom. Do you ever you know, where in your ministry have you caught a glimpse of the kingdom? And he replied, he had one parish in his diocese that had 16 members with Down syndrome. And he said they would always sit in the front pews and their bright, shining faces beaming with joy. And he said that joy would increase when they came up around the altar to partake of the presence of Christ. And then he said after church, they were the ones in charge of handing out the coffee and the snacks. It is a sign always of the kingdom of God whenever those who the world rejects are seen for who they truly are. Children of God filled with the light of Christ that pours out of them to others. So maybe as you go through this day, you'll remember a time in your life, painful as it may be, a time when you entered the cloud, lost your bearings, and you cried out to God to save you, and God did. In those moments, were born all those other days by faith where we trust that God is still with us as source and Savior, so that we can every day catch glimpses of the light of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ, who is both ourself and our neighbor. Amen.